So get ready, because today we're going to be looking at some pretty interesting research about smoking and COVID-19.
Ooh.
Yeah. Specifically, a 2024 Spanish study from the journal Archivos de Bronconeumologia.
Interesting.
Yeah. And this study tracked a whole group of adult smokers over a period of time. What we want to know is what makes a smoker more or less likely to actually catch COVID. You ready for this?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay.
Hit me with it.
All right. Well, this study starts off with a really crazy stat. Only 5.9% of the smokers that they tracked actually got COVID in the first year and a half of the pandemic in Spain.
Really? 5.9%? That's wild. That's actually lower than some peaks we saw in the general population.
Right. Like, I thought smoking would make you more susceptible,
Right, me too.
not less.
Yeah, well, this is feeding into this whole concept that's kind of blowing everybody's minds. Researchers are calling it the smoker's paradox,
Oh, wow.
where counterintuitively smoking doesn't seem to be increasing COVID risk in some cases, and in some cases it might even be lowering it. Now, there are lots of different theories about this, and the debate is still raging.
Oh, really?
Some theories point to nicotine's effects, others to differences in, how smokers were identified in early data. It's
Interesting.
kind of a mystery.
Really?
Yeah, it really is.
Okay, well, so if it's not just about smoking itself, what did this study actually link to getting COVID in this group?
Well, one factor that they found really stood out, which is moderate nicotine dependence.
Moderate.
Yeah. And this is the only thing that was positively associated with contracting COVID in the study.
So the more hooked you were on nicotine, the more likely you were to get sick
Potentially, yeah.
in this group.
That makes sense on a behavioral level, though,
Right,
right?
totally. If you think about it, someone heavily dependent on nicotine
Yeah.
might be more likely to do things that increase their exposure,
Right.
like sharing cigarettes or lighters.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But hold on.
Yeah.
How does that square with the smoker's paradox?
Yeah. Are we saying nicotine is both protective and a risk factor?
Well, it's not quite that simple. It's complicated. Remember, this study just looked at a specific group of smokers during a certain period of time in the pandemic.
Right.
It's possible that in this context,
Yeah.
the behavioral aspects of moderate dependence kind of outweighed any potential protective effect of nicotine itself.
Right.
The smoker's paradox as a whole might be playing out differently across different populations and times.
Oh, okay. So we're seeing how individual behaviors are factoring into this.
Yeah.
But you know what I heard? This study also looked at the smokers' social networks.
It did.
So what's going on with that?
Well, this is where it gets really fascinating. So, having a partner or friends who smoked was actually negatively associated with getting COVID,
Wait, so hanging out with other smokers made you less likely to get sick?
according to this study.
Wow,
Yeah.
that is so weird. Are we saying that smokers are somehow protecting each other from COVID?
It's not about immunity. It's not like that. The researchers think it might be because they were more cautious.
Oh.
If you're a smoker and you understand the risks of smoking,
Yeah.
you might be even more worried about COVID impacting you and your friends who smoke. So you end up being more careful.
Oh, so it's almost like this shared sense of vulnerability leading to greater precautions.
Yeah.
Wow. So it's not just your own behavior, it's like your whole social circle's behavior that really matters.
Yeah, it really highlights how social dynamics impact health behaviors.
Absolutely.
And it can be in all kinds of unexpected ways.
That's a fascinating theory. Before we get too carried away, though, were there any like limitations to this study? No study is perfect.
Right, of course. There are always limitations. Like you said, no study's perfect. For one, this study relied on people self-reporting whether or not they had COVID,
Oh.
which we know isn't always accurate.
Right, because somebody might have a really mild case and not even realize they had it.
Right.
Or maybe they just didn't want to admit it.
Yep. Exactly. Plus, they also didn't track when people got sick, just if they had it during that year and a half period.
Oh, okay.
So we can't be sure about cause and effect.
Right, because people's smoking habits, their social circles, even their level of caution about COVID,
Right.
all that could have changed during that time.
Totally. It's just a snapshot,
Yeah.
not a full picture.
Right.
And they didn't even look at things like mask wearing, social distancing, or vaccination status,
Oh, right.
all of which played a huge role in transmission.
So many variables.
So many variables.
This study still gives us some really interesting things to think about, though.
It does.
What do you think?
I totally agree. It challenges some assumptions,
Yeah.
really highlights those connections between behaviors and social networks, and raises some really thought-provoking questions.
It does. I'm ready to keep digging. Stay tuned for part two of this deep dive. where we'll zoom out and look at how this Spanish study fits into the bigger picture of what we know about smoking and COVID.
Welcome back. So remember that wild stat we talked about, that only 5.9% of the smokers in the Spanish study got COVID?
Yeah.
It turns out it's just one piece of a much bigger, more complex puzzle.
More to the story. Come on, don't hold out on me.
Oh, there's always more to uncover, right?
Yeah.
Especially when you're talking about something like a global pandemic and a habit as widespread as smoking.
Okay.
Researchers all over the world have been looking at the relationship between smoking and COVID ever since the pandemic started. And let's just say the findings haven't been all that simple.
Okay, you're talking about that smoker's paradox thing, right? The idea that smokers could actually be less likely to get COVID.
Exactly.
It's kind of crazy.
It's wild. And, you know, we need to be clear here. The smoker's paradox isn't like a settled fact.
Yeah.
It's a debate. You know, an ongoing debate in the scientific community.
Okay.
Some studies show a possible protective effect of nicotine. Others don't. And there's a lot of research that still needs to be done to figure this out.
So it's like a big scientific mystery.
It really is. It's super fascinating.
Wow. Okay, so what makes this Spanish study different from all the other ones then?
It adds a layer of nuance by looking specifically at a group of smokers and examining all of those social and behavioral factors.
Right, like those nicotine dependency levels and the social networks.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's not just about smoking in isolation.
Uh-huh.
It's about the whole person and their context.
Yeah, like the bigger picture.
Exactly.
Okay.
The findings from this study really show us just how interconnected our behaviors are.
Okay.
Our social influences and our health outcomes. It's a reminder that there are layers upon layers to unpack when you're studying something as complex as a pandemic.
Right. Okay, so we've got this really interesting Spanish study, this paradox that's still up in the air, and tons of research going on all over the world. What does it all mean for us, though?
Right. Well, that's the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
And although we don't have all the answers right now,
yeah.
This research does offer some important takeaways for both individuals and those making public health decisions.
Okay, great. What are they? Like, what should we be thinking about here?
Okay, well, first off, this research really shows us how much more research we need to do on the smoker's paradox.
Yeah, okay.
We got to figure out what's going on with these contradictory findings.
Yeah.
Why is nicotine sometimes protective and sometimes not? Unraveling this mystery could lead to some breakthroughs.
Oh, wow.
In understanding COVID.
Okay.
And maybe even other diseases.
More research is always a good thing.
Absolutely.
But what about now? Is there anything practical we can actually apply right now based on what we've learned so far?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right.
So even though there's still a lot of uncertainty, this research reinforces how important public health messaging is about quitting smoking.
But wait a second.
Yeah.
If nicotine might be protective against COVID, doesn't that kind of contradict that message?
Hmm.
I could see people trying to use that as an excuse to keep smoking.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
A valid concern, for sure.
Yeah.
But you have to remember that even if nicotine does end up being linked to reduced COVID risk,
yeah,
that doesn't erase all the other evidence that we have.
Right.
About smoking being bad for your health.
Right. Smoking still causes all kinds of problems.
Exactly.
Heart disease, lung cancer, stroke.
The list goes on and on.
Yeah.
And those risks far outweigh any possible benefits, especially when you think about long-term consequences.
Yeah, you're right.
But so quitting smoking is one of the best things you can do for your health.
Right.
No matter what ends up happening with the COVID stuff.
Okay, so no free pass for smokers, even with this paradox thing.
Yep.
Gotcha. But could this research actually help us find better ways to help people quit?
It could.
Okay.
Because now we understand the social and behavioral factors that influence smokers' susceptibility to COVID.
Yeah.
We can use that to fine-tune our public health campaigns.
Work smarter, not harder.
Exactly.
I like it.
Remember how we were talking about how moderate nicotine dependence was associated with a higher risk of COVID?
Yeah.
Well, that suggests that if we focus on interventions that specifically target moderate levels of dependence.
Yeah.
Those might be really effective.
Interesting.
Right. So it's not just a one-size-fits-all approach.
Right.
We can tailor the strategies.
Okay.
Based on how dependent on nicotine somebody is.
Gotcha.
Personalized counseling, medication, support groups, all designed for a specific group of people.
That makes sense.
And then there's that fascinating finding about smokers with partners or friends who also smoked being less likely to get COVID.
Right.
That gives us a whole new avenue to explore for public health interventions.
So we're talking about social networks again, like peer pressure for good.
Exactly. Instead of just focusing on the smoker themselves, we can include their social circles.
Right.
Imagine campaigns that encourage smokers to talk to their loved ones about quitting, or even programs that support those friend groups in making healthy changes together.
That's amazing. It's like a positive ripple effect. Instead of going it alone, you have your whole crew behind you.
I love that.
Yeah.
So even though there are still a lot of questions about the smoker's paradox and the link between smoking and COVID, this research gives us a lot to work with, both for individual and public health.
Totally. This whole thing is so complex.
It is, and it's so cool.
Yeah.
It reminds us that science is a process.
Yeah.
And that even findings that seem to contradict each other can lead to some really valuable insights.
Right. And it shows just how powerful those social connections are.
Absolutely.
When it comes to our health.
For sure. This deep dive has been quite the journey.
It has.
We've looked at the unexpected.
Yeah.
Challenged what we thought we knew.
Uh-huh.
And uncovered some fascinating connections.
It's really been eye-opening.
It has. But we're not done yet.
Still more to come. Don't leave us hanging.
Oh, you'll want to stick around for part three, because we're going to shift gears a bit and explore the bigger picture.
Okay.
How this research applies to understanding disease transmission and the influence of social networks on health behaviors in general.
Sounds good.
You won't want to miss it.
Welcome back, everybody. We've been talking all about this Spanish study, those surprising stats, the smoker's paradox, and that really interesting stuff about social networks.
Yeah, it's been a wild ride.
It has.
I'm glad you're still with us.
Me too.
So now that we've talked about all that, I think it's time to take a step back.
Okay.
And think about what this research means for, like, disease transmission and health behaviors in general.
Yeah, because I bet there's a lot we can learn from this.
There is.
That goes way beyond just smoking and COVID, right?
Totally. Remember that thing about smokers with smoker friends being less likely to get COVID?
Yeah.
Well, that actually points to a really important idea that applies to all kinds of health issues. Social networks are super influential.
You mean like our friends and family, they can actually impact whether we stay healthy or get sick.
Exactly. Think about it. Has you ever noticed how you eat differently depending on who you're with?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Or how much easier it is to exercise when you have a workout buddy.
Yeah, that's so true.
That's social networks in action.
Okay, I see what you mean.
So how does this apply to diseases? Well, imagine you're trying to eat healthy, but your friends are always ordering pizza and going to fast food places. It makes it so much harder to resist.
Oh, yeah, totally.
It's the same with things that can spread diseases.
Oh, okay.
Like sharing cigarettes or not being careful about COVID.
So you're saying that if your friends are doing unhealthy stuff, you're more likely to do it too, even if you know it's bad for you.
It's like peer pressure, but for your health.
Wow, that's crazy. So what can we do about that?
Well, this is a really important thing for public health experts to consider.
Okay.
We can't just tell people what to do. We need to figure out how to influence entire groups of people.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah. So instead of just telling people to get vaccinated or eat their vegetables,
right,
we can create programs that make those behaviors more popular within friend groups.
Give me an example.
Sure. Like community fitness challenges.
Oh, yeah.
Family cooking classes.
Uh-huh.
Or social media campaigns where people share their healthy habits with their friends.
I get it. So you're basically trying to make healthy choices go viral.
Pretty much. We want to use social influence for good instead of bad.
Oh, that's awesome.
And this Spanish study, the one we've been talking about all this time, it's a perfect example of how this can actually work in the real world.
Okay, how so?
Well, those smokers, because they were all connected.
Yeah.
They might have decided as a group to be more cautious about COVID.
Interesting.
Which could have protected them and the people around them.
Wow. It's incredible how much we can learn from just one study.
Right. It really changes how we think about health.
Yeah.
It's not just a personal thing.
Right.
It's social.
Okay, so to wrap this whole thing up, what's the one big thing you want our listeners to remember?
Your social circles are powerful. They can impact so many things.
Yeah.
Your risk of getting sick, the choices you make about your health. So be mindful of who you surround yourself with. And remember, you have the power to make your social environment a healthier place.
That's such a great point. Thank you so much for joining us today, everyone.
Uh-huh.
We started with a study about smoking and COVID.
We did.
But we ended up learning so much about social networks and their impact on our health. Until next time, stay curious and keep those brains buzzing.